Let me just say that if you have any comments that you'd like to make concerning the agenda issues, you certainly may do so. Just raise your hand at the appropriate time, and we'll be glad to call on you. And you can come up to the mic and just give us your name and say what you'd like to say. Okay. So as we begin, and also if you would try to keep it, you know, to 5 minutes, that would be great. We don't usually have a lot of people that want to speak, but just in case they do. So as we begin our meeting, we'll have our council prayer and pledge of allegiance.
Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, our God of compassion, the God who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. Father, we thank you for another day, another summer that we've enjoyed. We thank you for your grace and protection over our families and our friends and, dear Father, this community. Our children are back in school, and we ask that you protect them, we protect our teachers, and God, just protect their surroundings. Father, we know that you know what is going on in our lives. You are fully aware of the families that are unemployed, those that are prison-bound, those that are bedridden with health problems. Father, the suffering of our veterans and families impacted by the war, those that are on the verge of losing their homes, and those that are seeking their Father upward mobility in their careers and don't know where to find answers or solutions. Father, we ask that you help them to be strong and courageous, and let them know that even though they may walk through some dark valleys, that you are with them, that you will comfort them, and they should place their total faith and trust in only you. Let them know that through you, anything is possible, and it is your decision as to who is victorious. Help us to be about putting our faith in action and reaching out of our comfort areas to help the least of us. And continue to remind us, dear Father, that all things work together for good to those who serve you and is obedient to your word. We pray this merciful prayer in your name, dear God. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item of business are the minutes, a consideration of the minutes from the regular meeting of August 13th, 2012. Any changes necessary or any comments necessary?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, and Mr. Pierce and I have communicated by email. I had some issues trying to match the schedule versus the cost sheets. And I had a kind of an out-of-date call sheet, and I had a later one. And I would still like to see the call sheets and the schedule sheets match. And I've commented to Mr. Pierce on that.
Okay. The when you say the call sheets, you're talking about the amounts of money
sales
tax.
Yeah, the local option
sales. Citizens approved.
Yep.
And the reason those two won't match is council approved, for example, money for the SPCA building. That would not be in the timeline because that's already a completed item that the SPCA has received their certificate of occupancy on, so there's nothing left to do on that.
On the 17th, I should have said the local option 2 is the real issue. As we're finishing up, we need our schedule and our cost information to match because we do have some areas that are overrun. And
that is right.
We need to make those match, and I don't know if we have to come up with funds from the budget or what, but there's a considerable differences on a number of the projects versus what's left to do.
Right. We had some carryover funds from the first penny. It might be better if you and I could get together in my office and just kind of review the concerns and then see how we can put that together for the benefit of council.
Yeah, I don't mind approving this with a caveat that if Mr. Pierce and I come up with a a little different angle on it here to be sure we account for the money. We're getting towards the end of that, and the money basically finishes in November of this year. So we'll need to account for
the funds. We actually potentially would have another revenue set the first of 13. So these are just your minutes. This just reflects what, you know, Mr. Morris presented to you in the presentation section at the last meeting. We can update the form. I don't think that affects your minutes.
We need to do that, and I'm more interested in the dollars than which projects are done in Local Option 2. And in Local Option 3, I think we just need to, Mr. Morris needs to look at the order of them. We did have infrastructure pretty high up in the list, and I request that we'll take a look at that, and you and I can take a look at it. And
you want to see the order as it appeared on the ballot?
I would like to, the key one, and there was a lot of discussion at the time on the infrastructure issues, and I would like it to fall about where it fell, and there's four or five of the PRT projects in front of that, people had requested to be. So I'd really like to look at that one and move it up from the bottom of the list.
Well, we'll have to get the city attorney to weigh in on that. We can certainly make sure that we have it in the order as it appeared on the ballot.
Yes, and that would be, I think, very good to do that in this case.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, as long as it's in the order of the ballot, because it was number 9, and 4 of the projects, including the SPCA, was all above it. Mm-hmm. Don't have any problem with all those being done.
Okay. I have two concerns, and I also think and hope that I've passed them on to the city manager. I would like to unlump the sums. For example, on the sheet that we received in the mail, we just have Aiken PRT for $5.25 million. I'd like to see those, again, just as Councilman Ebner has said, listed as they were on the ballot that was submitted to the voters.
And that is in the finance information we gave you. That was highlighted in yellow ink on that two-page document. Showed the second penny and the third penny.
Well, I thought that what you sent us in the mail, is that not the working document that we're going to be
That's
used?
That's the proposed timeline as Mr. Morris saw it as of middle of August. You know, it just depends how we go forward as far as getting designs done, necessary permitting, how they'll actually work out. That's kind of a snapshot of how we expect the projects to proceed. Of course, council had expressed a concern about whether we would spend the money as it came in, and that's why we're trying to organize that. And again, in your minutes, this just reflects what the presentation was, not really what our procedure is going to be.
And that's the other comment, and I guess maybe we ought to discuss it as an action item at the next council meeting. Generally speaking, we have not put backup material for presentations into our minutes. But I think in this particular case, failure to do so doesn't let us go back and look and see what we actually talked about and what was actually presented to us. I'm not sure the right answer, whether we put the...
Was in your agenda packet.
It was in the agenda packet,
right,
yes.
And that is online. That is, again, the minutes you approve tonight go to the documents that were presented at the last meeting. So the whole documents are available for reference.
Well, they might be, Mr. Pierce, but if somebody wants to look at these minutes for 3 years, 3 years from now, they're not going to stand alone. They're not going to be told that the backup material for this particular discussion on capital sales projects list by the public works manager is in the packet.
I have to disagree, Mr. Dwyer, because certainly the minutes refer back to the meeting. The meeting minutes refer to the documents that were discussed, and that's in the agenda packet that we keep on the archive documents. I mean, we keep those a very, very long time. So the documentation is there.
Well, we have talked largely at my initiation several times in the past several years since I've been on council about improving the quality of our minutes to getting to the point of even making them verbatim. I still don't feel that these minutes adequately reflect what we discussed. And I'll just let it go with there. So,
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make the recommendation that we approve the minutes as written.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Any other discussion? Not. Show of hands, please. All in favor.
Passes unanimous.
Not unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry.
Vote against.
6-1.
Yep. 6-1.
Passes 6-1. Okay. We're very fortunate this evening to have three presentations by three wonderful groups of ladies. Ferris, would you like to?
Thank you, Mayor. The first is a request that we received from Dr. Sandra Field. I don't think she was able to be with us tonight, but this is renewing their request. Dorothy, you're here. Okay, that's fine.
You don't have to.
Thank you, Dorothy. Appreciate that so much. Juilliard and Aiken has sent the August 27th letter that I included in the packet. And I think, Ms. Rideout, do you have the banners that we could pull up? They're the banners that were put up last year, and they've requested that they be at Park and Lawrence, Lawrence and Richland, Newberry and Richland, Park and Newberry, Chesterfield and Park, Chesterfield and Richland, and South Boundary and Whiskey. There we go. And they would be up from February 1 through March 17, and the request before council regarding the Juilliard and Aiken banners is that they be allowed to be put back in place for those dates. It's approximately a six-week period.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So move, Mr. Mayor, that we approve these banners for the date February 1st to March 17th, 2013, at 7 and a second.
I second.
All right. All in favor? Show of hands, please. Okay, passes unanimous. I didn't even have to speak.
That's the power and influence, Mayor. Yeah,
absolutely. Item two, requests by the Pink Ribbonettes to place pink ribbons in our historic downtown area. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And actually, we have Diane Hadley sent the letter. She's the vice president, but President Holly's with us, too, from the group. And then we also have Barbara Sanders with us from the Cumbie Center to assist abused persons. The reason I'm kind of jumbling these two together, Mayor, of course, September is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but it's also domestic. I mean, what did I say? I meant to say October. Yeah. It was a different language I was speaking. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Very sorry about that. But it's also Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and council will recall last year that we actually had two colored ribbons downtown. You've seen the teal ribbons that were up this month for ovarian cancer awareness. And in talking with the two groups at the meeting tonight, the proposal would be to do as we did with the teal ribbons. And that would be at the intersection, there's four opportunities to put the ribbons up. So we'd have two pink and two purple at each intersection, and then also place them in the Newberry Festival Center. And again, we would alternate those. So you'll see the pink and the purple together. The intersections would be as we did for the teal ribbons. That's Lawrence at Park, Lawrence at the Alley, Lawrence at Richland, Newberry at Richland, Newberry at the Alley, Newberry at Park, and Chesterfield at Park. That's the Courthouse Circle. And again, in the Newberry Festival Center as well. So if I know we've got two different presentations from the Pink Ribbonettes, and then, as I say, Barbara Sanders is here to talk with us about the domestic violence awareness, if council would care to hear from the mayor. But that's the two requests for consideration.
Okay. For the pink ribbonettes, would anyone like to speak?
Okay. Good. About the president, mayor.
Madam President.
My name is Irene Hawley. I am the president of Pink Ribbonettes. The Pink Ribbonettes is a group of people who are supporting or working to support survivors of breast cancer and their caregivers. This organization actually was founded about 1995. I haven't been involved that long, but we do have people that have been involved that long. And the last statistic that we are aware of is that there are about 600 women in Aiken County that are diagnosed every year. I don't know how accurate it is and up to date right now, but that was the latest that we had. We have monthly meetings. We, again, are there as a support group for the breast cancer survivors and their caregivers. And it's not just for women. We actually have a man who is active in our group that is a breast cancer survivor. We would like to put these ribbons downtown again to make people aware of what it's all about in regards to breast cancer, to remind women that they need to take care of themselves, to get the mammograms or whatever it is that their doctor or caregiver recommends to help keep them in good health and make it a quick recovery if they are diagnosed with this dread disease. So basically, that's about all I really have to say. We are, again, wanting to make people aware of the fact that this is something that can be hopefully eradicated eventually if we get everything going and get people taking care of themselves. Also, one of the big events for us is on Thursday, October 11th, there is a pink ribbon tea. And this year, it is being held at the Aiken Technical College. We are in affiliation with the Aiken Technical College, with USC Aiken and the Aiken Regional Hospital, and our little group of Pink Ribbonettes are sponsoring this tea. It is free. It is open to the public. The only thing we ask is that you do call and make a reservation. Last year, we had well over 200 people. We anticipate that and more this year. So, again, October as Breast Cancer Month with pink ribbons and culminating with the pink ribbon tea to honor the survivors of breast cancer. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Irene. And thank the whole team, your whole team, for what you're doing. It is certainly, no doubt, important. We appreciate what you're doing. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I make a motion that we approve the request by the Pink Ribbonettes to place the pink ribbons in our historic downtown area. And also like to thank them for everything they do to make this community more aware of breast cancer and the impact it's making. And I did enjoy the tea last year very much, so thank you.
Okay. I'll second it. And show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Richard has already talked about the next item with Cumbie Center.
And I say Barbara Sanders is here, Mayor. And
Barbara, would you like to speak?
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor, council members, citizens of Aiken. My name is Barbara Sanders. I work as a domestic violence case manager and crisis counselor at the Cumbie Center. I want to start off and give you just take about 3-4 minutes of your time and give you a little facts about how domestic violence impacts the citizens of Aiken County, if I could, please.
Certainly.
In 2011, the Aiken County Sheriff's Office received 1,510 domestic complaints. Of these, 365 were written and verified as domestic violence. This year, from January 2012 until September 3, 2012, the Sheriff's Office received 1,264 domestic violence complaints. Of these, 271 were written and verified as domestic violence, including 5 that were domestic violence homicides of last year. In 2011, the City of Aiken Public Safety Department received 900 domestic violence complaints. Of these, the Victim Services Advocate received 77 as domestic violence cases. From January 1st of this year until August 31st of this year, the city received 715 domestic violence complaints. Of these, the Victim Services Advocate has received 59 as domestic violence cases, including 2 domestic homicides. In 2011, the Cumbie Center to Assist Abused Persons provided emergency shelter services to 131 individuals, 73 women, 58 children. We provided non-shelter services, which included legal advocacy, crisis counseling, medical advocacy, and referrals to 1,230 clients last year. This agency also served 141 victims of sexual assault. A little bit more information for your consideration. Approximately 1 in 5 female high school students report being physically and or sexually abused in a dating partner. Domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women. About 1 in 3 high school students have been or will be involved in an abusive relationship. Children ages 0 to 3 are most likely to experience abuse. About 1 in 50 U.S. infants are victims of non-fatal child abuse or neglect in a year, according to the first national study of the problem of that age group by the CDC, along with the Federal Administration for Children and Families. 1,500 children die every year from child abuse and neglect. That's about four fatalities every day. 79% of children killed are younger than 4 years old. These facts are very, very startling when you look at them in the context of the numbers. And it looks like we're doing a lot. And this year, so far, because the year isn't over, the numbers are very low, because we still have to get to the end of December to do our final reporting. But even though these numbers are only by 2 agencies, law enforcement agencies, in Aiken County, we haven't even counted the cases involved by the municipality law enforcement agencies. They're not in this total. This is the city of Aiken and the Aiken County Sheriff's Office. Burnettown, New Ellington, Jackson, North Augusta, they all have their own law enforcement agencies, and they all respond. And while this is, as I said, the numbers seem low, that's because I want you to consider how many calls did not come in to within the city, within the county. How many victims and their mothers are not safe? And then how many people did not receive any services by anyone at any agency at any time, including our agencies? We all know that victims of domestic violence don't report for many reasons, and mainly it is because of their fear. They may not have anywhere to go. Where are you going to go with your children? So what we're asking is that council help us to inform, make the citizens aware that October is Domestic Violence Month, and that there is no excuse for domestic violence anytime, anywhere. And last year, what we did was we requested that the city allow us to put up some silhouettes downtown here at Park Avenue. We're also requesting that we do that again. I sent pictures to council thanking you for that privilege. And I have one tonight, if you guys want to see. It's cute to look downtown.
That's right. Yep.
Mr. Beedenbo will help you, man,
okay,
with your projector, and we'll switch over to that.
So while we're waiting, we are asking that we be able to.
There you go.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, we recognized the 5 women that were killed in the month of July alone in Aiken County. And we got great feedback from it. It was a great medium to get the public involved, to bring out the things that we're trying to do. We were also on the radio, WAAW 94.7, all month long. We also did a public service announcement that was seen on WRDW Channel 12. And we're trying to get it more locally this year, as with ASTV. And another thing that we're asking is that we be allowed, along with the Pink Ribbonette ladies, to place ribbons in the downtown area.
Barbara, would this include the Walk a Mile in My Shoes event?
That's for sexual assault month.
Okay.
Yeah. We have some other events planned. As I said, we will be back on the radio again this year. We will have the Whiskey Road Race, which we do every year. We'll have other events with, in conjunction with other agencies, such as Aiken Horsepower. We're working actively to get involved in all the schools within Aiken County to do some domestic violence and teen dating issues.
Well, thank you, Bob, for what you're doing and your group, your team also. No doubt there's a lot of folks that are hurting because of these assaults and what have you.
Barbara, just curious about the employment of a lot of the folks that, your statistics. Are these folks employed or unemployed that are being battered?
Because there is no face to domestic violence, if you would think of domestic violence as a mist or a fog that's able to get into any house in any neighborhood, it doesn't matter. Domestic violence does not care who you are, where you live, what you have, whether you have a job. And the primary concern of domestic violence is the abuser. And all he or she is interested in is power and control by any means necessary. So if it means that he tells his wife, his girlfriend, his significant other, honey, I don't want you to work. I'll take care of you. And she believes that because she loves him and she has hope. And that doesn't work out that way. It is in turn seen as a way to control her. If she can't work, she can't leave. Where is she going to go? If she has children, she can't leave. Where is she going to go? If he is monitoring her cell phone, who is she going to call? If he has told her, if you call the police and they come out here one more time, I will kill you. Are you going to call the police? And one thing that an abuser learns through time, because they practice this just as we practice our professions, is they learn where to hit women at, which is below the neck to the knee. Those bruises aren't going to show. So domestic violence is very cunning, it's very tricky, and there's many facets to it, because most of the women and some men that we see who are involved in domestic violence, the one thing that they have is hope. They hope that if they cook the meal right, they clean the house right, and I'm speaking of women and some men who stay at home, they hope that if the children don't make any noise, they hope that if when he comes home, they can read his emotions. And they do everything to prepare for this, to prevent that outburst. And holidays, summer vacation, when the kids go back to school, those are primary times for abusers, because there's a change in the house, there's a change in the structure. So domestic violence, as I said before, it could be you abusing your husband. By telling your husband, where are you going to go? You don't have a job. You have to stay here. It could be Mr. Pierce telling his wife, oh, you think you're going to leave? Where are you going to go? Nobody is going to believe that I am abusing you. Look at me. I hold a high position in government. I may hold a high position in the school system. I may just hold a high position. Or I may just be a great guy. Because a domestic violence abuser is not mad at everyone else. He's only mad at that victim. He only hates that victim. And he's learned these behaviors through time. And he's practiced them and he's crafted them to, you would not believe who would be an abuser.
Thank you.
That was long, but
thank you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, and we'll call for a vote now. And do we have a motion and a second?
I move, Mayor.
I second.
Okay. All in favor? Show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Thank you so much, each and every one of you. I appreciate what you're doing so much. Before we get into old business, I would like to recognize we've got a young man here that's working on his Eagle Scout badge. He's very close to it, and coming to council and seeing the wonderful job that we all do is part of that, I think. So I'd like to introduce Philip Edwards. Philip, would you stand up, please? Thank you for what you're doing. We certainly... certainly appreciate the scouts of all, over the many years, and an awful lot of us have been in the scouts before, so keep up the good work. We need good citizens. And, okay, moving on to old business now. The first item, appointments and discussion of appointments to city boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. There are 12 appointments that need council's attention. I didn't have any appointments to present tonight, but did want to make council aware, and Ms. Rideout has sent that along as to the individual appointments of which council member is responsible for appointing that particular member to that particular board, commission, or committee. Of course, we did include in the agenda discussion of any appointees tonight, and I didn't know if we had any potential candidates for appointment.
I do have one, Mr. Mayor. Sure. Reappoint Judy Sennett to the Community Development Committee.
Okay. Any others?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd recommend reappoint Don Barnes to the General Aviation Commission.
Okay. I've got one, Eugene McKee, reappoint to the Community Development Committee.
And I've got two. Well, do you have anything else?
Okay.
I've got two. Alton Johnson for the Community Development Committee, reappointment, and Stephen Peterson, reappointed to the General Aviation Commission.
Okay. Any others? If not, do we have a motion and a second for approval of these? Well, we don't have
to. We just submit them.
These are just going on for next, excuse me.
It's been so long since we've done them.
We would have it on the agenda, Mayor, for September 24th.
That's right. I'm so excited about getting it done.
There we go.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Item 2, second reading of a public hearing of an ordinance to grant a franchise agreement for fiber optic cable within the city of Aiken limits to South Carolina Telecommunications Group Holdings, LLC, a.k.a. SCTG Holdings, LLC, a.k.a. Spirit Communications. Okay, Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance approving South Carolina Telecommunications Group Holdings, LLC, as a telecommunications services provider within the city limits of Aiken. Mrs. Rideout has put up on the screen for council and our audiences viewing the actual area where this group anticipates putting down fiber optic cable. You did hear a presentation from Michael D. Baldwin, their communications business and legal affairs senior counsel. And I have spoken again with him since the last meeting. A concern came up at the last meeting, I think you saw it at the minutes, about undergrounding the fiber optic cable. And Mr. Baldwin was very clear in my follow-up conversation with him that actually that this company would prefer to have as much of their fiber optic cable underground as possible, because that lengthens the useful life of the cable. And I think we mentioned at the meeting, we already have conduit on the Lawrence Street section of town, and they're very sensitive to that. You'll see in the letter that we included in the agenda packet for tonight that he had sent me back in July. On the second page of that, he does say, Spirit's plans for this project and the construction specifications will adhere to all South Carolina Department of Transportation and City of Aiken policies, procedures, as well as state and local statutory requirements. And, of course, Council's been very clear as a policy and in our development regs that we underground utilities in new development and in older areas that we underground as much as feasibly possible. So I just wanted to clear that up from our last meeting. Mm-hmm. And this is second reading and approval. You approved the first reading unanimously in August.
Okay, very good. And again, if anyone wants to speak on any of these agenda items, you may do so. Okay, do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I move approval, Mr. Mayor.
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion?
Just a quick comment. And Richard knows this is a backdoor question. When they dig up the streets to put their cable wire in, is it their responsibility to make the street whole, to fill it up and do the paving and so forth?
Yes, sir, it would be, but the conduit's already in place on Lawrence Street, so they would just have to access the conduit. It wouldn't be, you know, some of the big trenching that we saw when we were doing the downtown streetscape. They would just have to access it and pull it.
The conduit is underneath the pavers?
It is.
They're on the sidewalk.
Okay, so they're going all the way down in that map. Is the conduit all the way in? I mean, is it in there completely?
It's on Lawrence Street.
Yeah, but they're going where the red wire is?
Let's see. I think in the letter he explained. Let me find that if I'm right.
Because I just thought, being a new company, they were going to put the wire along the red line.
It says on page 71 of your packet, specifically, Spirit is proposing to place fiber optic cables along certain public rights-of-way beginning in August of 2012, including plans to construct approximately 38.9 miles of metro fiber facilities in around the city of Aiken, North Augusta. The entire plan is comprised of some of the following larger segments: 6.6 miles along Lawrence Street Northwest and Edgefield Highway. And then they talk about Richland Avenue West and Barclays Road. They talk about 11 miles on Hayne Avenue and out of town along 781. So we do have existing conduit in Lawrence Street to the extent they come into the downtown area.
But if they have to dig, they have to repair the road.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And we'll make that clear with them in any permitting that we do.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 603 Douglas Drive and zone it residential, single family, RS 10. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property owned by Andrew H. Jernigan and located at 603 Douglas Drive and to zone it residential single family, RS 10. Ms. Rideout has put up the map from page 81 that shows the location of this property. It is contiguous. Planning Commission unanimously voted to recommend annexation, and at first reading in August 13, City Council also unanimously voted to annex the property, and this is the second reading and the public hearing on that request.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve this annexation upon the second read.
I second.
Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the City Code, Section 22-4, regarding discharging firearms or other weapons within the city limits. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of this ordinance is an ordinance revising Chapter 22 of the Aiken City Code to amend Section 22-4 regarding discharging firearms or other weapons within the Aiken city limits. I would like to call Council's attention to page 87. You'll see the paragraph C there, which is the new paragraph. And since our first reading, there is some additional language in here. And it says, nothing in this code shall prevent the discharge of firearms. And then we added this language, on the Aiken Department of Public Safety firing range, in accordance with their procedures, or. So we added that. And then the rest of the paragraph reads, on an approved indoor firing range constructed, operated, and maintained within all applicable local, state, and federal rules, regulations, and laws. The reason for this additional language is Chief Baranko and I looked at the proposed ordinance after first reading, and we realize that sometimes we have visiting agencies that come in and use the range, in the past there was a sporting enthusiast club that leased the range for a year to use it to train their members in safe firing of firearms. So we wanted to make sure that the uses for our public safety range would not be in question. As long as it was being used within the department procedures, that would be appropriate. As we discussed in first reading in August, we've had some requests from private investors who are considering opening indoor firing ranges, and with the city code drafted the way it was, that just could not occur because it would have been a criminal act to fire a firearm within the city limits because of the two existing exceptions just did not cover that. So for council consideration on second reading is the modification to the existing city code to add this subsection C to it.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Before we have a motion, Mr. Mayor, this is not the way it was worded from our first meeting. We've added something with the first reading of this to the second reading. With that sentence, I've been contacted by an investor. We did not talk about an investor the first meeting. The reason that I approved this the first meeting was because we said we were non-compliant based on the firing range that we were using and that we were not legally in compliance. So I approved that. And now it looks like it says I have been contacted by an investor, so we improved. It is implied that we are agreeing with an investor who desires to develop an empty building into an indoor firing range in conjunction with making us legally in compliance with our indoor range. And based, I'd like to know who the investor is, number one. And secondly, where is the location of the empty building before I approve this?
Okay, and again, I'm just trying to find the first reading of this. I had actually had that in the memo when we heard it before, and I was just trying to put my hands on it.
Well, I think the last meeting we were also in agreement as to having the residents in the area of the proposed facility to come and speak out,
right,
express their feelings as to whether or not they would be comfortable with that.
Right, and again, what I had in my original memo was recently I've been contacted by a landowner who desires to develop an empty building into an indoor firing range. Wade Brody is here and can speak to that because it's a building that's owned by the Aiken Corporation. And again, the landowner's inquiry and then the inquiry from the private investor is not what guided this. What guided this was we took a look at the city code just to see if it could be done and then realized that the exceptions we had did not appear to cover our public safety operation. Mm-hmm. The thing you need to keep in mind, as we discussed back in August as well, is that by changing the city code, that doesn't automatically allow that activity to take place at that range. The Board of Zoning Appeals is meeting on September 25th, and for that location, the way it's zoned, there will have to be an application and public hearing at the Board of Zoning Appeals for a firing range to be at that specific location. None of it can happen if we don't modify the city code to allow a firearm to be shot inside the city limits in a regulated, compliant facility for firing weapons indoors, which is what that indoor shooting range would be. So I apologize if there's some confusion here.
I don't think I'm making myself clear. The last two paragraphs apply, in my opinion, unless I'm confused, mm-hmm, to what we discussed with our first reading. The first two paragraphs are new items with an investor who desired an empty building. That should be a separate ordinance coming to us for consideration, because if a community has an investor that's interested in putting a fire range in their community, they need to be informed first before we're approving two items, in my opinion, under one second reading of an ordinance.
No, and again, let me just go through it one more time. It was the inquiry that we went to the city code and saw that it would be impossible for anybody to have a private indoor range to fire weapons. So there's a two-step to this. The first step is that the city code would allow an indoor firing range that's compliant with all applicable regulations to have weapons fired at. Now, for a specific piece of property, that's not something that comes before the city council because of the zoning ordinance and state law. That's a special exception approval, and that will be a specific application before the Board of Zoning Appeals when they meet here on September 25th would be the use of that property. That is posted, and the public and the folks in that area will receive notice that that application is pending. There'll be a notice on the piece of property, and that'll be for the September 25th. If you pass the city code modification tonight, that does not allow an indoor shooting range at that facility. That just means that an indoor shooting range, once it complies with all federal, state, and city ordinances, can then operate. They must, under the zoning ordinance, come before the Board of Zoning Appeals for a special exception approval. That means you can have that use of that facility on that property. And that's the public hearing. It's something separate from what you're approving here tonight.
Richard, this is a protection for our citizens, actually, so that a shooting range cannot go anywhere.
That's right.
Until they have that hearing and the citizens come and voice their opinion.
That's
anywhere
right.
In the city. Before, it looked like we were talking about one particular place. And then you looked into it and saw that, hey, they could come somewhere else without having a citizen input. Is
yes.
that correct? I'm saying it in a very general way.
That's true. That's why we have the other ordinance on
right.
New business as item
over on the next page.
Three. Yeah.
That's,
yes.
that's right. Those two
that's
put
right.
together will protect all of our citizens
that's
so
right.
that nothing, a shooting range cannot come anywhere until they have their say also.
Yes.
I mean, at least they have their say.
Yes, that's right.
Now, the board may approve it anyway, or they may not approve it, but at least the citizens will have knowledge mm-hmm. and be able to go and voice their opinions.
That is
so
correct.
That's what these two things really do for us.
My question again is, of what significance and relevance is the first two paragraphs to this?
In the memo?
In the memo that is in front of us, the first two paragraphs, what significance does it have with ensuring that our public safety officers are legally conducting weapons training? How does a new an empty building, developing an empty facility, empty building apply to these last two paragraphs?
Okay. The reason we brought the code modification to City Council is that when we looked, because of the inquiry from the private sector, can I open an indoor fire range? We said no. You can't, because you can't shoot a gun in the city limits. There's no exception for you. Then we realized we had the public safety facility on DuPont Drive, and when we looked at, where it talked about peace officers and the actual discharge of their duties, that didn't cut the mustard for us because that sounds like an officer who's on patrol. But we have to train our officers, and they take a shooting proficiency test every year. Visiting agencies come in, and then others wanted access to that shooting range. So under the existing code, we didn't feel that we had the proper protection for public safety and the folks using that range.
The question is, if this facility goes into the empty spec building on the northeast side of town, will the citizens have a chance to come before City Council?
Yes. No, not City Council, because City Council doesn't have the jurisdiction to hear that. It comes before the Board of Zoning Appeals in a public hearing on September 25th, because that's the use for that particular piece of
property. I just want that to be clear. The other thing that concerns me, and I know we will say that off of DuPont, you have a neighborhood that have been exposed to our firing range for a long period of time, mm-hmm. and that the people off of Williamsburg Street and Marlboro Street and Orangeburg Street should not be that concerned if that spec building is used for a wider use of a firing range. That concerns me, and it concerns me greatly in terms of the method. But I want to make us legal, but I want to go on record saying that concerns me greatly.
And I appreciate the concern, Ms. Price. And again, we're just trying to make sure we do this in accordance with the law that's applicable. And the state legislature has said items that come under the zoning ordinance are exclusively with the Board of Zoning Appeals.
And I know. I understand that. But it's quite interesting to folks that the two circumstances coincide, that here is a building that's available, and now we're deemed not legally operating with our weapons training, and suddenly we've got a developer, an empty building, that may get approved for a firing range. It doesn't pass the smell test, and I'll move on with that.
Well, and again, not to try and spray some air freshener on this, but the point is that kind of question really had just not come up. And when we took a look
at it,
we just knew we couldn't have any private investment with the way the city code was drafted. But then we kind of got a double shock. It was kind of a double tap, where we looked and saw they'd be questionable about operating a shooting range though it had been there for years.
And let me just say pointedly, in due fairness, we've had a spec building that's been empty for a long time. I want it gone. It's been on the city's books for a long time, or the corporation's book. Mr. Evan and I serve on, and we want it off the books. And to get it off the books, and I just feel like at any, I don't want to use the word at any cost, but not considering people living in a neighborhood concerns me.
That's what we're trying to do.
Right. Anyway, I'll move on.
Well, how will the people in the neighborhood be notified? Will signs be placed each street?
Yes.
Will it be a big article in the paper so that they can see it and maybe...
What? I don't know about a big article in the paper. It is advertised in the paper under the legal notice. We do put signs on the property where that use would be. And, of course, you know, that's on the. It'll be on the website. It'll be on that calendar of meetings. And Board of Zoning Appeals meets in this room on September 25th. That's a Tuesday.
What is the zoning code for a firearm place? Do we have one?
Well, and that's in the second item under new business. There's several different designations. You've got light industrial, light manufacturing. And the way the code's set up, it requires special exception approval. There were some other commercial areas where it was by right. And that's why we're trying to... It's one of those things where you pull the thread on the sweater. We don't want the arm to fall off. We're trying to get it re-knit. And so... we want to make sure that all the commercial areas are the same where that special exception approval is going to be required.
I'm sorry that I don't mean to beat this to death, but I have a little bit more passion with this issue than Norm, given the number of gun violence that takes place in our community. And certainly with placing this in this empty building location, is in a highly populated African-American community, and that gives me some great concern.
And it would be very important for the community to attend the September 25th meeting when this application is discussed.
I just have a clarification. Mm-hmm. Approval of this second reading
right.
is going to do, am I correct, two things. Number one, make us legal in our own public safety firing range.
Yes.
And number two, under certain circumstances, which we will discuss under new business, allow an indoor firing range to be built within the limits of the city.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. But approval of this only allows it in the first reading. The new business reading is going to get more specific in terms of of where it can go or the process.
That is correct, Mr. Dwyer. That would show the commercial areas where someone could have an indoor firing range. But it would take special exception approval, which is a full public hearing and a vote.
So this is like St. Mary's Church. Once we change the ordinance, we're through with it. If somebody wants to build a firing range, it'll never come before the city council.
No, it would come before the Board of Zoning Appeals
yes.
by state law.
That's right, and not come before this body.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
My name is Robert Connolly, and I reside at 104 Spearman Circle. There seems to be a little confusion in my mind. If this has to come before the planning board, why is it being discussed now?
It's because you can't have the use on a particular piece of property for an illegal activity. The city code, as it's currently drafted, does not allow an indoor firing range anywhere in the city. The question came, you know, is this, I mean, several cities have indoor ranges. We didn't realize there's no exception for that. Then we looked at our public safety range, and then that was kind of a question. But the only thing the city code says is so long as there's an indoor firing range that meets all legal requirements, then it can operate. Well, part of the local requirement would be if I want to have a shooting range at a particular location that has the right commercial zoning for zoning designation for it, then I must come before the Board of Zoning Appeals, have a public advertised hearing so the neighbors can come, anyone who's interested can come and hear the presentation. I mean, are they going to take adequate measures to ensure the safe use of the facility? Are they going to comply with the city noise ordinance? Under the special exception approval, there's a list of criteria in the application that's required by state law, and they must meet every one of those criteria before a special exception use can be allowed. So that allows a full presentation and full discussion about the proposed use for the property, and it's specific to that business.
Yes, that I understand. Now, why, since this information was known prior to it being presented to the board, why was it bundled with the existing property on Dumont or DuPont Avenue? Well, that, this year, why was it put together?
It was
presented as one situation. Well, there's two situations.
Well, no, I mean, when we were here in August, I talked about a landowner asking about the use because there was no contract at that time. Now I understand there's a contract, so that's the reason I mentioned the investor. You get these questions from the public, and then you take a look at something that nobody's really looked at and find out you potentially have a problem. Again, we wanted to make sure that the city code was set up so that our operation would be legal without question. And since there was some interest in investment in the use of the property, so long as all the regulations were complied with and there was an opportunity for a public hearing before a board that the state law has set, has the authority to hear it, we were just trying to kind of take care of business, if you will, as far as what the city's business was and as far as what the private sector may want to set up as a business. That's why we did it.
Yeah. I have a further question, which you may know the answer, you may not know the answer. Is this facility to be private or public?
And again, I think Mr. Brody's here. He could address that. I don't know. I'm assuming it's some sort of membership setup, but I don't really know the details.
Yeah. See, the problem which I have is the information was not presented in the manner which it should have been presented. First, it was bundled in a situation which led me to believe that the reason for changing the city code was to bring the city in compliance with the existing code. But however, it appears to me that that wasn't the only consideration. There was consideration for the firing range. And thirdly, we need more information concerning the whole picture, which is not presented in a comprehensive manner.
Well, and again, sir, if you look at the minutes on page 23, I talked about the fact that a landowner had asked about that kind of operation, and then I also talked about our public safety thing. So this isn't the first time we've talked about the two issues. We talked about it in August.
Yes, but in August it was voted on.
That's correct.
This is the second reading of the
Yes, that's correct.
But we still have the complete information.
Well, I understand where he's coming at. I wonder if the city attorney could opine as to whether or not this is a significant change between the first reading and the second reading, which I think is what you're suggesting it is.
Yes.
You talk about the additional language we put in.
Yeah, the additional language which concerned Councilwoman Price.
Council has the ability to consider amended language from first reading to second reading. What I'm hearing as being the concern is the language in the memorandum, and the language in the memorandum has no bearing on the ordinance itself.
Yeah, and the only
may have created a concerning situation for the citizens, but it's not part of the official language of the ordinance that's before council.
Right, and we talked about a landowner, you know, wanting to know whether that kind of business could be on the land. The only thing I've said is there is an investor who's interested in purchasing the land. Again, that would be something that would come before the Board of Zoning Appeals on September 25th, and that's where the complete information should be in a public hearing.
Well, I got a quick question here. I'm a little bit confused. Mm-hmm. What category is a firing range under? If it's light industrial or commercial, what's the difference? I mean, a company could come in and make fence posts at this facility as light industrial. Would they actually have to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals if the place is already designated a light industrial? We don't designate whatever a shooting range is. I mean, there's no reason for them to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals. That's because if they fit in that category, they just build whatever they need to.
And that's correct, Mr. Homoki. And again, it wasn't listed. And that's why we have the proposed amendment to the zoning ordinance to specifically list indoor firing range and have the indication that that would take special exception approval.
You said we didn't have that earlier, I believe. Or I misunderstood you.
Right. This is first reading tonight. Okay. Again, we're pulling at the thread on the sweater. And then I think the way we have it set up is you got to have the city code that allows a firearm to be shot within the city limits on an indoor firing range. Then the next step is you would have Planning Commission at their meeting tomorrow night look at the proposed amendment to the zoning ordinance, which would be to the extent you want an indoor firing range in limited business, in the office zone, the general business zone, planned commercial zone, the downtown business zone, light industrial and light manufacturing, you would have to come before the Board of Zoning Appeals for approval. As I say, Planning Commission meets tomorrow night. They'll have a recommendation for your meeting on September 24th as far as the zoning ordinance goes. So that's to make sure that all commercial operations considering an indoor firing range have to go through the same process to keep it fair. Then at your meeting on the 24th of September, that's for the second reading on the zoning ordinance modification. So the way it's lined up right now, at the meeting on September 25th, the city code would be addressed, the zoning ordinance would be addressed. So depending on how the hearing goes before the Board of Zoning Appeals, the law would be in place for a proper review of the request.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Pierce, so if we don't approve this, does it mean, or what impact would it have on what the city is doing now as far as conducting their weapons changes or weapons training at their facility?
Yeah,
it's in paragraph number 3. It says, in order to ensure that our officers and users of our Aiken Department of Public Safety fire range are legally conducting weapons training at our facility.
Right.
So
it would be in question. I mean, that's the revelation we found when we looked at the city code.
So right now we are illegally conducting it, and if we don't approve this tonight, we would.
Right.
And how long have we been doing this?
Have to shut it down, or?
It would be questionable whether we could continue now that we've discussed all this at length. And again, we're just trying in the city code to have the opportunity for us not only to use the public safety range, but if there's someone who wants to have an indoor shooting range business in the city limits, to provide an avenue for them if they're in compliance with all state laws and the zoning ordinance to have that considered. It's not an automatic. It has to go through an approval process just like we do with shopping centers and other uses of other properties.
To answer your question, Smith, if you don't mind, at our last meeting we discussed that this would be a for-profit business. It would be folks coming in to want to train or to learn how to conduct how to fire firearms. How long have we been out of compliance, Mr. Mayor? Mr. Pierce, I didn't hear us say the last time. I don't recall.
We didn't say because I don't. That firing range has been there a number of years.
Okay. As I stated at at our last meeting, it is my wish that we become compliant. I just have objections to our discussing an investor and an empty building, and then you mentioned that we already have a contract that could possibly be in place for this. I have some real issues with that.
Well, and again, that would be discussed at the Board of Zoning Appeals public meeting on September 25th.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second to approve this on second reading?
I'll move that we approve second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend City Code Section 22-4, discharging fire weapons or other weapons.
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I would just say I wish there was a way we could do it where we could stay involved, but apparently there isn't, so.
Yeah, it's the zoning ordinance takes over, unfortunately. Yeah, you have control through the city code.
We have control tonight.
But this is for compliance, for the city to be in compliance.
That's
right?
True. That's exactly right.
Show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes. Okay. Six.
I state objections, and I think we've been non-compliant all this time. Well, and it's very scary.
Passes 6-1.
With the comment, I don't think our peace officers were not in compliance. I think in the actual discharge of their duties is to stay maintained or keep proficiency with the weapons. So consequently, I think them shooting at their range, I think, is fully acceptable. So I don't think there was any violation of any kind of city ordinance.
Well, and again, we had a question. We took this opportunity to clarify.
It's a little bit more explicit, but I don't want to say that the peace officers were in violation of any city code.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the question would come, why are we doing it?
Richard.
Let's move on.
Well, you can blame it on the city council then. All right, item 5, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to convey land at Hampton Avenue and McCormick Street.
Pardon me?
To Habitat for Humanity. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We have an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to sell certain property to Habitat for Humanity. This is property that's located at Hampton Avenue and McCormick Street. I had a question about the zoning of the property. It is zoned RMH, which is residential multifamily. That does permit single-family residence by right on the property, so long as it complies with the development plans that are set forth in the zoning ordinance. City Council approved this unanimously at our meeting in August, and this is second reading and public hearing to approve conveyance to Habitat for Humanity for the amount of $10,000.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt this.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
One quick question. Now, this would go, after this point, Habitat would just go through the normal procedures through the city. This doesn't have to go to BZA or anything, does it?
Well, it depends on what they want to do. I mean, the zoning ordinance sets forth a certain minimum lot size, setbacks. There has to be certain frontage on a public right-of-way. If it meets those conditions that are set forth in the zoning ordinance, that can be approved administratively and would not necessarily have to come before a board. It's just that they needed a variance. The residential use is permitted on that property.
I had Mr. Church get the closing attorney and our construction contractor to check it out. And, you know, it appears that they can put 5 houses in there. So as long as it's within all the guidelines, that's all. Then it would go through the normal procedure then.
Yes, it
would be. Permitting and so forth and so on.
That's right. You would have a subdivision plat that planning could approve. And once that's approved and recorded, then they would go and apply for building permits from the inspections division.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under new business, item one, a resolution authorizing acceptance of property located at 612 Kershaw Street. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the resolution is a resolution authorizing the acceptance of property located at 612 Kershaw Street. This property came to our attention through our property maintenance code official, Phil Noah. This property is falling into disrepair. It actually was becoming a nuisance property and unsafe. When we investigated, we found out that Mr. William Jackson had inherited this property but has no financial means to maintain the property or keep it up. Our city attorney has worked with staff in his office, other attorneys in his office, to effect a transfer of the property. By the time we inspect the property and perform a demolition, really the value of the property will cover those costs. So the proposal is, through appropriate court proceedings, because of Mr. Jackson's situation, we would have to have a conservator appointed by the probate court in order to transfer the property to the city. We would go through that procedure, have the property transferred, and then demolish the structure that's on the property.
Okay. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay. Discussion?
Yes. What's the value of this property?
It was very minimal. Gary, do you
know? It appraised for less than
$10,000. Yeah, it was under $10,000. So by the time we demolish and haul everything off, abate the asbestos out of it, it's about an even.
And this person gets no tax letter or anything for this property at all?
It can be done if they want one.
Yeah.
He has to apply both to the city and the county for
that's
it.
Right.
I don't believe this particular gentleman has a tax liability.
Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with the property now that we've got it, or we'll have it?
Well, again, that potentially would be a property that could be part of our Northside revitalization program if Habitat were interested in it. I mean, there's a number of options to make it productive again and not just sit down.
There's actually three. I went by there today. There's actually three lots there, and there's another structure that's close to this same position that's been boarded up, I know, for the 7 years I've been here. So yeah. Habitat will definitely be looking at this.
Oh, good. And it's an unusual situation, of course, with Mr. Jackson's unique situation. It wasn't something we could run through our normal channels and just took this procedure in order to abate that nuisance.
Maybe the bulldozer can slip a gear.
You know, when we do, we have to do it a certain way. So we'll get the asbestos out of there, and then we'll...
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item two is a resolution authorizing acceptance of a deed of dedication for Sidewood Development, LLC, and reserve at Hollow Creek, LLC. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the resolution is a resolution authorizing the acceptance of a deed of dedication from Sidewood Development, LLC, and Reserve at Hollow Creek, LLC. This property is described in the letter that's attached in the deed of dedication. You'll see it's the sanitary sewer lines for Pinyon Pine Loop, the water lines for Pinyon Pine Loop, the storm sewer lines at Pinyon Pine Loop, and there is a, with each of those, there are non-exclusive perpetual easements, other equipment and other items included in the conveyance. Larry Morris has looked at the deed. He has done his inspection of this infrastructure, and I'm very happy to report to council that the water lines in this section are the PEX A water lines, that's our new regulation and stipulation as to the water line that needs to be installed. That's what we installed over on Sand Shifter Court earlier this year. And Larry, as I understand it, we have not been called back to Sand Shifter Court with that line, and he's given me the thumbs up from the back of the room. So for council consideration is exception of these utilities in Pine Glen, Woodside Plantation, Phase 4, Section 7.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
I make a motion that we approve the resolution to accept the deed of dedication for utilities in Pine Glen, Woodside Plantation, Phase 4, Section 7.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a second. Show of hands, please. Oh, was there any discussion? Any discussion?
Yes, we do.
Is it open for public comment first, or?
Certainly.
If there's any.
We always are.
I do have a couple of questions for Mr. Morris, because this is unique. We do have the proper legal work for the first time in a long, at least my 7 years dealing with Woodside on the transfer of these documents. I don't know if that's Mr. Morris is doing or who it is, but I do appreciate the right legal work in close. The one thing I had requested, and Mr. Pierce had sent it, that the engineer of record was used on this set of roads out there, and I read through the documentation. Is that documentation in the file?
Yes, sir. I reviewed that documentation today. It is all in the file, in addition to having camera work on all of the sewer and all of our pressure testing on the water.
Okay. I think that's very good, because we obviously have some issues out there. The other thing I noticed on this road, it appears to be very close to the specifications for sewer manhole levelness and all of that. So I appreciate that we're beginning to do that across the city, and I hope we continue to do that. You don't bump up and down the road going. Now, the road quality, from reading the specifications there, you think the road's in pretty good shape?
From what I've seen with the reports that were done by Graves, all of the compaction reports were in and passed, so we should be in pretty good shape with that road.
All right, because it was noted he had to dig out quite a bit and replace a lot of soil. Now, the stormwater lines, there's been a lot of discussion in that particular neighborhood. Do these tie into lines that are under city jurisdiction all the way to the outside and to Horse Creek, or how's this stormwater handled once it leaves the street here?
I'm not personally familiar with all of the off-site stormwater, Councilman Ebner. The thing that we're looking at, as you know, we've been working with Woodside the past year and a half in inspecting all of their stormwater lines, and are satisfied with what they are doing out there. These stormwater lines were certified by the engineer of record, so we have no problem recommending them.
Okay, so that would fit in. And I'm being a little particular because it's the first time we've gone through everything being in the right order. The other thing that is of interest there, and I don't know if Mr. Carton is here tonight or not, there's some easements along the Highline right-of-way, and I guess there's one for city property on both sides of the power line, or maybe I'm misreading it. It says property of the city of Aiken behind all of this property, and it's shown on all of the pages. Ms. Ryder can
page
show it.
157.
One of the pages. Is that easement, is that the, it's the one that's, you'd see the easement be on the left-hand side of that page.
Is that page 106?
All of them have the same easement on it.
Yeah, it's on the left-hand side.
Yep, left-hand side of that page. Is that the horse trails that were taken over from the developer that we're supposed to build and maintain, or is that a different easement?
I am not sure about that, Councilman Ebner. I know that we do have the horse trail property that was granted to the city several years ago, and I have worked with Mr. Carton and met with him out there on site, and we'll be looking at budgeting for engineering money and construction money next year for a horse trail in that area.
Okay. I guess, you know, it's a little bit of a diversion, but I was a little interested why the city would want to take over the developer's job of the horse trails, but evidently the prior city council thought it was the right thing to do. And I guess I just want to be sure we don't have one on top of the other, or are we doing everything right, as far as you know, there for the...
The we have to have some survey work out there. I think it'd be premature for me to say, to speak right now to a horse trail without getting survey work. We have the property that comes from the village, goes by the driving range, certainly. That is a horse trail property that was donated to the city several years ago. And then the ultimate idea from the developer was to tie in all the way to Anderson Pond Road. Without a survey to know that all of that property has been donated, I cannot speak that we could go build that yet.
Okay. I think, Mr. Pierce, with that, and I brought that up for specific, and no problem passing this tonight, but I think it would be good as this area is beginning to be developed, and also there's some external property that adjoins the power right-of-way. I think we ought to go ahead and get the survey done and everything, all that brought up to date as they develop that area, both sides of if you will, the Woodside property and then the private owners outside.
Yeah, we'll budget for that and have a. You're looking for a more comprehensive.
Well, I'm looking
connect the dot between the different sections.
Yeah, we need to connect the dots and be sure the dots are the legal. I shouldn't say legal. They are the geodetic dots. Let's use that word.
Yeah, and, you'll have an overview.
We need to go ahead and get that done, I think, promptly, because they're fixing to do the next development. And also, on the outside, I think one of those landowners is looking to sell towards Silver Bluff. So we want to be sure that all that land's in the right corner. So if we can get that done, I think this budget year and then put in budget year next year to do the horse trails would be good. So that was my comments. Thank you.
The survey work we'd have to budget for.
The survey work was in excess of $20,000. For the survey work, and I do not have that amount budgeted this year. That would be something I would have to come, you know, back to the city manager for a special appropriation.
Yeah. And again, the only thing that this item is to accept the water, sewer, and stormwater utility.
I know, but things, and that, like I mentioned, this is the first time the legal work has really been all together in one thing, and they had a closing attorney do it rather than a attorney in fact, which has been a real problem. So I'll make a note to myself, be sure we get that in next year's budget. So thank you, Mr. Morris.
But Larry, you're happy. You've got the letter from the engineer of record for the roads and all of the utilities we're talking about here, water, sewer?
Yes, sir. I reviewed that file personally today and also checked the DVD with the camera work on the sewers. And I might add that Sidewood Development, Woodside, worked with us very well. Because of the age of the approval of this particular section of Woodside, they could have used the older style piping that we've had so much trouble with. They went ahead at our request without cost to the city and put the new PEX-A in. And that, as I had shared with council before, that's approximately three times the cost of the regular pipe. So they worked with us very well on this.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, we've got a motion and a second. So let's see. For approval, passes unanimously. Item 3, first reading of an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding indoor shooting ranges to require special exception approval in all commercial districts.
The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding indoor shooting ranges. The important exhibit is on page 116, and it shows about a third of the way down on the page the new category, specifically setting out indoor firing range and making sure in all the commercial districts I previously mentioned, that's light manufacturing, light industrial, downtown business, planned commercial, general business, and office, that a firing range proposed would have to come before the Board of Zoning Appeals, and the board would have to be shown that the criteria prior to giving special exception approval had all been met. It would have to be at a public hearing with the citizens involved and having the right to attend advertising the particular property. Again, when we were looking at the existing ordinance, since the indoor firing ranges were not specifically listed as a specific use, it fell under other retail sales or services, and then some of these districts it would have been been permitted by right, and there wouldn't have been the requirement of a public hearing before the Board of Zoning Appeals. So I've been in conference with Mr. Evans, our director of the Planning Department, and he has reviewed this. We would ask the council consider passing this on first reading, referring it to the Planning Commission. They would hear it tomorrow night, and that'll be a public hearing as well. And staff strongly believes that having that special exception approval means that anyone that wants to have this type of business in one of those commercial zones is being treated exactly the same, that is, getting that special exception approval to make sure the proposed business will comply with our noise ordinance and safety concerns and other applicable regulations. So this is first reading of that.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second for approval?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve.
And as part of your motion, would you refer that to the Planning Commission for their review and comment?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll second that. Any discussion?
I have a question, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind.
Okay.
This is going to be referred, as Mr. Pierce indicated, to the Planning Commission on tomorrow night. And for those who want to attend, is this sufficient time to tell them tonight that the meeting is tomorrow night?
We have advertised this agenda item on the Planning Commission for tomorrow night.
And this is first reading of this.
This is just first reading
of this
ordinance.
So there would be a second reading to this ordinance.
That's right. That
all citizens could have the opportunity to attend. And I'm going to tell you where some of my concern comes in along these lines is, you know, we had prior to us making these changes or trying to make these changes tonight, a shooting range would have fallen into the other retail or other services, which was permitted by right in a lot of the zones that we currently have within our city. However, we had an ordinance that would not allow that to happen. I'm not an attorney, but I'm going to ask our attorney, would that potentially open up the city for a lawsuit? If someone wanted to open up a firing range and they were allowed in the other services, would have fallen there because we did not have them listed up in the schedule.
Right.
And then they came into the city of Aiken to open one, and then we would have either had to allow them to open it, or we would have had to said, no, we have an ordinance that says you can't have one in the city of Aiken.
But potentially it creates a question mark if you don't have it specifically. If you don't have an otherwise legally allowed use in your zoning chart.
Yes.
Okay. A shooting range is a legally allowed use. Okay. Provided you satisfy all of the requirements that state law imposes on shooting ranges and you meet decibel level requirements and city noise ordinances, that sort of thing, it's a legally allowed use. So you put Ed in the position of receiving a request from a legally allowed request, and he's looking through his chart to find out where it fits. If he doesn't see that specific use somewhere, then he has to go to the catch-all. And if you go to the catch-all, then the catch-all allows things all over the place. And so if you deny a legally allowed use because you don't see it specifically listed on here and you don't want to throw it into the catch-all, then you're inviting a lawsuit from the developer. If they really decide they want to be in Aiken that badly, you know, you're inviting a lawsuit that you probably don't win because it is a legally allowed use.
And there again, when we have the interest in the review and have the comments from the public at our first reading back in August, that's why we looked at the zoning ordinance and saw we need to treat everyone the same. And with the public having concern about this particular business in their area, having that special exception designation, again, has that public hearing specifically on an application for that use at that location, and that involves the public in that discussion and gives them a right to attend the hearing and to share their concerns and comments with the Board of Zoning Appeals.
So, Mr. Smith, what is the difference with this shooting range and your term legally allowed use and tattoo parlors that we disallowed in the city.
In DHEC actually issued, I believe it was DHEC, but back when that was being considered, there's actually a provision in the state law that said, and I wish I wasn't doing this from memory.
That's okay.
But there was a sentence that gave us an out that said that the city, in order for the tattoo parlor to go to DHEC and get a permit to legally operate, they had to bring an ordinance from the city that said it was legally allowed. And we, along with the county, interpreted that to mean that if we didn't pass an ordinance, they couldn't take the ordinance to DHEC to get their permit. And DHEC was interpreting that statute to allow us to do that. That's why we never passed a tattoo ordinance.
I have a question on
before we go, in this particular case, and Mr. Brody can help me, if I had Ms. Sarah put the page 116 up. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, the applicant applied, has an option on the property and it's zoned LI.
Right.
So this time he would have had to go to BZA.
That's
because
right.
of the property.
That's right.
But if you look across other, he could have picked, if you look up on the screen up there where it says other, he could have picked a P area. And what was just said would be a real problem because he could go out there and do it. But in this case, he had to go to BZA anyway. I just want to be sure that we aren't penalizing this individual and I at all because he had to go to BZA whether we pass this or not because that is LI. But he could have gone other places in the city by right.
Right. And that was something that staff looked at very seriously after the August meeting and realized that with the public interest on these kind of applications, to make it fair for that business activity in the city of Aiken, it received the same scope of review.
And while I understand that, but I would think that the Department of Justice would have an interest and the concern that we had a landfill in that community. We are cleaning up that area with that landfill where we placed all of our trash for many, many years. And now this community is faced with a firing range, knowing that the level of violence we have in the African-American community. That's my only concern, that And I know you don't have anything to do with it. It's who wants to buy the property. We want to get rid of the property. You don't have anything to do with that. But that's just, again, some concerns.
Let me make a comment, if you don't mind. I know there's a lot of emotion when we start talking about building a firing range. But I think we need to recognize that the fact that while there is violent crime increase throughout our country, there's a response to it. And the response has been for many citizens, a record number of citizens from what I read the other day, buying weapons, learning how to use them, and even going so far as to get a concealed weapons permit to carry the weapons. A firing range built properly by law is going to be a very safe facility. You're not going to hear, I've been to the firing range in Augusta in a parking lot, I didn't hear any weapon sound. I didn't hear any sound. I know there's an emotion attached to it. Nobody wants to live next door to a firing range, and we'll have to yet sort that out in this city, and that'll be sorted out at the Board of Zoning Appeals. But there's a lot of people in the city of Aiken that have weapons that shouldn't have to go to Augusta or shouldn't have to necessarily go to an outdoor range to use their weapons. So I support, and I'm going to support the motion, but I recognize there's going to be a lot of deliberation at maybe tomorrow's Planning Commission, at the Board of Zoning Appeals, and maybe this particular plan at this particular site might not work out, but we need to enable the building of an indoor firing range within the city of Aiken.
And I agree with that. My other point is that when we were discussing the Fresh Market coming to Aiken, and we wanted to place a gas station in front of the Fresh Market, we were concerned about the community and property value. And I'm also concerned about the property value in this area as well and the community. So that's the only thing I'm saying.
And that's a very valid concern. Yeah. That's why I say it'll be hashed out at the BZA.
I've got a question One of the things that concerns me is this special exception. I think the memo from our planning director should be incorporated into the verbiage of the ordinance, because in fact eventually the intent is going to be lost. I think the ordinance itself should state exactly, you know, what is by right, what is by exception, and or whether it's through a concept plan submission.
It is in the chart on page 116. That's what the chart says.
Well, how does the chart say by exception?
Special exception. It's in the grid for the indoor firing range for those areas. Oh. SE means special exception.
So all of these, but then which one is it by right?
It would not be by right.
Well, see, but the memo, which is incorporated, which says OGB, PC, and downtown business are by right.
Well, that's the other retail sales or service in the grid. What you're doing is you're creating a specific line item for indoor firing ranges, showing that that has to go to a public hearing before it can be approved for that use.
Okay. If we did not go forward with this tonight, Councilman, it would have fallen under the other retail sales or services and been permitted in the O and the general business and the PC and under DB.
So actually, that second bullet is prohibited by the special exception.
It just requires the review. It's not prohibited. It just requires
the review. What I'm saying is review.
Permitted.
Right.
Kind of convoluted back to the way we do this.
Any other discussion?
And I repeat again, in this particular piece of property, he has to go to the BZA whether we pass this or not. But what we're doing is, like you say, Steve, we're protecting the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Show of hands, please, for approval of this. Okay, pass. Opposed?
I'm not approving it.
Okay. Gail, excuse me, what did you do?
Opposed.
Opposed, okay. So it passes 5-2. Okay. Item 4, approval of action items from the Planning Commission for FY 2012-13. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. City Council met in a joint session with the Planning Commission in mid-July. At that meeting, we developed the action agenda that Mr. Evans has memorialized in his memo that's attached. We also have the minutes from that meeting. There's a list of 8 items. We need to have a new number 2, and that was the review of the open space element. Council will recall that came before you in August, and Council voted to refer that to Planning Commission. That would be the new item number 2, and then we would have to renumber the items 2 through 8 to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. So it would be a total list of 9 items. And for council consideration tonight is the approval of that action agenda discussed in July as amended pursuant to the action council took in August, which is the action items for the Planning Commission for this fiscal year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So move.
I'll second. Comments? Discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Oops. Item 5, approval of agreement of assigned ownership and maintenance of the glide slope at the Aiken Municipal Airport to the Federal Aviation Administration. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We did complete the glide slope element of the instrument landing system pursuant to the grant money that we obtained and the appropriation for the installation of this equipment. We had discussions with the Federal Aviation Administration that once that system was installed, certified, up and running, that the FAA would then take over the maintenance for the system, which represents a tremendous cost savings to us. And that's the transfer agreement. It's that installation on our Aiken Municipal Airport become the sole responsibility of the FAA to maintain and own. Since it is an installation that is on city property, that requires approval of that agreement by city council.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
All move.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Not show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Like that's it. All right, let's have a turn.
We got picked by Richmond, which is who you guys are playing, Mr. Kidd.
Yeah, I don't know what
it's a little bit better, but overnight.